Good morning, church. You know, my PowerPoint here, this looks a lot better color-wise. I was telling Steve. Is that okay? Can you read that? Can you see that? I really don't care. I'm just kidding you. I do care, sort of. All righty. We'll be in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 in just a moment. I just want to make sure that we're on the same page and what's going on, and that is this. A few weeks ago, I talked to you about what's our mission. And our mission is go and make disciples of all nations. That being a missionary doesn't mean we have to go to a foreign land, go to the grocery store, go to a neighborhood. And so I emphasized a few weeks back about, you know, praying for our neighbors, going across the street, trying to be a witness there. And then last week, I talked to you about your Samaria, your enemy. Who is it that is difficult, who's challenging your life, that you need to speak to and pray about and stuff? So I ask you to write down. I had a list, and I'll do that again in just a moment. So there are things that we focused on the last couple of weeks. So this week, we're talking about go where the Spirit leads. Go where the Spirit leads. And that title implies a few things. First of all, it implies this, that the Spirit leads. Not too complicated, is it? The Spirit leads. It's just not a New Testament idea. In other words, the first century, and this just happened to Philip and so on, that's it. If we have a perspective that the Holy Spirit is dead, a cessationist view that what happened in the first century, things don't happen in this day and age, and the Holy Spirit doesn't work in certain ways, then this is all for naught. God still leads today through his Spirit. So first thing that's really important that is the Spirit still leads today. Secondly, and that is this, there's action required on our part. We're told to go, we go. We are to obey God and be faithful in that. And of course, where are we going? Who are we talking to? Where is the Spirit leading us? I was thinking of this preacher at her talk recently. He said that he was at a conference in, of all places, San Diego, California. And he and his wife went out, and they decided to go out, see some sights and stuff in San Diego. And so they took an Uber. They're not even from this country. They took an Uber to go to this location where there'd be shops and stuff. So now they spent their time there, bought whatever they're going to buy, walked around. And it was time to go back to their hotel room, turn on the Uber app, and the Uber app would not work. You ever have that happen where something's just not working? Delete it, upload it again, it's just not working. Would not work. So he kind of has this sense, he tells his wife, he said, why don't you talk to that younger lady over there and ask her, because younger people with technology figure things out. Go over, she's trying to help him out. The app would not work. But she said, I live near this place. I'll take you there myself. So no need for an Uber. So as they get talking and start asking questions, conversation, it was God's perfect timing of what this woman was going through in her life, where they had a chance to minister to her, talk to her, and pray with her with the personal problems that she had going on in her life, a God-ordained moment. When they got back to the hotel, they just decided when they got out of her car, before going to the hotel, they checked their app. The Uber app was working. You tell me God isn't working this day and age. So we're going to cover some scripture today. It's going to talk about where the Spirit leads. So understand that as we get into this, in chapter 8, in the beginning of chapter 8, there is a persecution that is taking place, instituted and caused by Saul of Tarsus. We talked about him last week. And because of that persecution, the Christians, the disciples of Jesus, are scattered from Jerusalem. And so they are going to different areas. And when they go to these different places, they are proclaiming the good news of Jesus. Philip goes to Samaria, to a town in Samaria, to the enemy territory, if you want to call it that, you know, to the people that the Jews don't get along with. And he proclaimed the good news of Jesus to them. He proclaimed the Messiah to them. And great signs and wonders were done through him. And the scriptures tell us that city was filled with great joy. We also have in that chapter Simon the Magician. Well, in this chapter, Simon the Magician, who everyone was amazed by him. They said he was somebody truly special. But when Philip came on the scene, they paid more attention to Philip than what this magician and all that he could do. So Philip is, the people are gravitating towards him because he's preaching the good news and God is doing incredible signs through him. And then, of course, Peter and I think John come down and baptize them. And it's kind of interesting because then Philip wants to buy that gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's a whole other topic. But what happens to Philip is interesting. What happens next in this successful journey? Because you think about it. When you are participating in a successful missionary journey, it feels good to be there participating in that mission. God blessing him. So he's up in Samaria. People are responding to the gospel. The number of disciples are growing. Things are shaking. They're moving, and it's great. But according to God, his infinite time, his perfect time, he says, it's time to leave. Because of that, the Spirit will lead him somewhere else. He's going to go to a city where it was very populated and he had wonderful success, God using him to perform miracles, using him to proclaim the good news of Jesus. But then, whenever he is called, he's going to go to a desert area where the crowd isn't anymore. Do you see that tension that could be there? If we're so caught up in a work that's going on that is successful in our eyes, where maybe we're kind of maybe getting caught up like it's as if it's us. And God says, I'm calling you now to go somewhere else. Would we be willing to do that, to follow that calling? And by the way, I put this up here. It's just a reminder. They're out in the foyer. Those pieces of paper we handed out last week about putting people on the list of your neighbors and those who are hostile to you and praying for them, praying that God opens up doors of opportunity. And just so that you can see this, and so you still pick those up and use those and pray over those, I'm not going to ask if you did that. I'm trusting that you did. I'm trusting you take it serious because this is something that you can put into action, writing down names of people you can pray for. And is that's still blurry. Every map I uploaded looked like this, had that blurriness to it. Is it a little blurry for you? Is this better or that better according to? But I just want you to see where Jerusalem is, and he travels all the way up to Samaria in that region, goes north. And then he's going to come down all the way down south past Jerusalem, you know, and go to this desert area. See, there are times when we're doing things and it may be successful and God's doing a wonderful work. And then he asks us to go somewhere else or do something different. And we can be really attached to that, really caught up in that. And it doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, wouldn't you want Philip to stay there, continue to proclaim the good news, just keep doing it because people are coming to faith in Christ and being baptized into Christ? But now he's going to be told to go somewhere else. And let's take a look at this and see what the scriptures have to say. It says this, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. When you pay attention to that, you take a look at that, it's really important. There's a lot of information given out. Just like when we talked about when we dealt with Acts chapter 9 last week with Saul receiving a vision and Ananias receiving a vision, very specific, detailed information. So the angel of the Lord appears, rise and go. Get up and go. Wait, hold a second, Lord. Don't you understand? I mean, I am proclaiming the good news. I'm going to go out and talk to the people again. I'm sure people are going to respond and all this, but now it's rise and go. And he says to him, this is very specific. I want you to go south to the road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza, to a desert place. How many of us be willing to do that? It doesn't make sense. Who's in the desert? Who's hanging out in the desert that he can talk to, share the good news with? Maybe God works signs before him and wonders. But he's told to do this, to go down to this place. And then we find out that you take a look at this. He's told to do this. And what does he do? It says, he rose and went. He rose and he went. I think it's absolutely important that we connect and see that Philip was not so caught up in the mission work of God that when everything was going well, that it was on him, that it was about him. Faithful to God, obedient to God, to say, I am willing to go wherever the Lord is leading me, whether it's before a multitude or before it's one person, because there's great value in that. So he's given specific directions as to where what he's supposed to do to go to this remote place. According to MacArthur, quote, he says this, there were two roads from Jerusalem to Gaza, and the Spirit commands Philip to take the one that is seldom used, end quote. Makes sense? Not according to our world. And Morgan says this, if Christ is hindered, it is because some Philip is not willing to go, end quote. For willing to follow the Lord wherever he leads, wherever he tells us to go, that we are to go. And so we find out about this Ethiopian eunuch. And the fact is that he is a proselyte to Judaism. He was converted, right? He has gone up to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. He has done that, and he's on his journey back with some scrolls to read Old Testament scripture. And that's what he's doing. So he went up to worship. He is a very important person. He's in charge of the treasury. He is someone of great importance. So he does this. And take a look at what happens. And again, look how this is all God ordained. When you take a step back sometimes from moments in your life, you look back and say, other than God doing this, there's no other way that this could have happened. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you're reading? So we find out the Spirit says, I want you to rise and go. Rise and go to this remote place, isolated place. Take the road less traveled, in essence, right? This is where I want you to go. Philip doesn't say, well, why? What's going on there? Just do it. And he does it. And as he goes down there, all of a sudden, here he comes. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch. Whoa. And he's reading. What's he reading from? Leviticus? Numbers? You know, how to construct the temple from, you know, Exodus or something? Or sorry, the tabernacle? It's not that. He's reading from Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 53, we identified as. That's what he's reading from. We'll get to that in just a moment. So what we find is that this person is coming down reading. Now, something that's interesting, too, and I've read this from various sources, and I just have to trust that it's true. They said back in the day when they would read scripture, even by themselves, they would read out loud. So he's reading this, but the Spirit tells him not only now is he in the location where he needs to be, but the Spirit tells him what? Go over to the chariot. Go. Have you ever felt that? That nudge? That thing where God's like, you know, there's a person you need to speak to. There's a person that you need to, that you know you need to. God still works today. And there are times when that happens, that sometimes we ignored that. We try to rationalize it. Well, I don't know what to say. This feels uncomfortable. This is strange. We talk ourselves out of it at times instead of doing what's supposed to be done. Spirit says to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Go and join. Ooh, that's going to be fun. He's going to have to be invited into this chariot to join the chariot, or he's going to be walking beside it the whole time. So Philip does what? He says he ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, what happens next is really important, because this is critical in creating dialogue with people. He asks him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? See, brothers and sisters, it doesn't take some type of, you know, special insight into, like, maybe, you know, discussing with somebody, asking questions. Jesus did it so many times in his ministry. People ask him questions. He would ask questions. Questions. Because questions create dialogue. They create a conversation. They allow us to hear what a person is doing, what they're thinking, what's going on, so that then you can go ahead and have a better discussion and just have a better personal time with them. But if you ask a question, you have to be willing to listen what they have to say. I had a class years ago at Pitt, you know, a research class, and didn't realize how important questions are in doing research and stuff. So part of our assignment was to interview classmates. And so we were assigned just random people. And I got to talk to a girl that I didn't never talk to in class. She sat on one side, I sat on the other side, didn't even know her name. And I found out so much about her life in the hour and a half, because one class you interviewed, and then the next class we had together, back together, it switched. She interviewed me. And they gave you discussion questions, like how to start off. But as you listen, to ask deeper questions, you can only ask questions and as people are willing to respond to them. And we had a wonderful discussion. I thought I got to know this lady so well. I did this twice. Once I did it here on a Wednesday night, and I did this at Whitehall. And I had trouble getting the class back under control. I assigned people, random partners, and said, go anywhere in the building, go outside the building, I don't care. Go and for, you know, 15 minutes or so, talk, and these are your start off questions. And it was so noisy and lively in here with the discussion. So that neighbor that you have, that person that may be difficult to talk to in the neighborhood or at work or whatever it is, maybe God's laying questions upon, will lead questions for you to ask this person. I'll say this, you know, maybe this may not be the best question because this has happened. Well, when you die, are you going to heaven or hell? That's kind of a jump off the springboard there and, you know, get into a real serious, or chase people away. But get to know somebody. Have an intentionality about what is all, what you're about. Do you understand what you're reading? And then we get this. And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? That's true. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Do you think this eunuch had any idea this day that he would have somebody sitting in the chariot with him on his way back to Ethiopia, talking to him about the scriptures to help explain it to him? Any idea? Philip, do you think Philip had any idea that this day, when he goes down to this desert area, that he'd be sitting in a chariot of some official in charge of the treasury? No. But how God ordains things and leads us and guides us into wonderful opportunities. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And so here is this eunuch reading from scripture. He reads from scripture from Isaiah chapter 53. Again, God moment. It's ordained. It's just wonderful how this has all worked out. And so we see God orchestrating something rather fabulous. And this encounter would never have happened if Philip would have reasoned away, talked himself out of it, and said, you know what, it's just not me. I'm having too much fun here. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else? See, I don't understand how he's led to a slaughter. Who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other person? Who's he talking about? Then Philip opened his mouth. And listen, it says, Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scriptures, he told him the good news about Jesus. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? We focus on the latter part of the, and that latter part, being baptized, is absolutely important. But I want you to see something here. This is so critical. It said, Philip opened his mouth, beginning with the scriptures. If we don't know the scriptures, how can we share the scriptures? How can we share God's plan? But we have to know the scriptures. And he says, from the beginning, sharing the scriptures, and told him about the good news of Jesus. Told him the gospel message, the good news of Jesus. We're reading from 1 Corinthians 15 today. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 3, Paul says, I tell you what was passed on to me. I tell you what was passed on to me. What was passed on to you, Paul? See, this is something that was going on within the Christians back then. When they gathered together, how they shared with one another and talked about this, that Christ Jesus came in this world and he died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. He is not dead, he is risen according to the scriptures. Paul, using the scriptures and what was passed on, sharing with the Corinthian church of what was going on. And what we have here is Philip sharing the good news. Sometimes when these opportunities arise, I think we get caught up in sharing church doctrine. Let us tell you about the church of Christ. Let us tell you about tell you about that. The good news of Jesus that needs to be proclaimed for people to understand. If we don't do that, we miss the boat. We're not sharing the good news then. We're just talking about what it is that we believe. And so Philip shares the good news about Jesus. And brothers and sisters, please don't get sidetracked on issues and rabbits. Focus on bringing people and sharing the good news and telling them about what Jesus did. You know, I thought Justin did a great job today around the table, getting our minds to focus on what this is about, the significance of that. We are all broken people. We are sinners separated from God. And the only way to be reconciled is for us to come into a relationship with God through his son Jesus. That is the only way. To confess him, to be baptized in the Christ, that is how we are reconciled back to God. It's through his grace and mercy that has been poured out for us. So he does this. He shares the good news with us. And as they're going down the road a little bit further, they come across some water. And he says, what prevents me from getting baptized? Is there anything to prevent him? There's nothing to prevent him from getting baptized. And there's nothing today for you, if you are not a child of God, from being baptized today to enter into that relationship. And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Amen. This is an incredible God-ordained encounter of what happens. No way Philip had any idea this would take place, or the eunuch, but their paths cross, and you know, their lives are never going to be the same, you know. But I find it interesting, Philip then is taken away by the Spirit, sent off somewhere else. He's like, can I settle somewhere for a little bit, Lord? But he goes off and he's going to be somewhere else. But do you notice what happened to the eunuch? It says this, that he went on his way rejoicing. Why is that? Why is the the eunuch rejoicing. We're talking this morning in Bible class, and I'll bring this up. We're talking about the afterlife, you know, the great confirmation that we have that Jesus rose from the dead, so death should not scare us, right? Whether we get a terrible diagnosis, bad things happen, you know, we go off to our reward, right? So the scriptures provide reassurance and just great certainty for us. And so whenever we think about this and you know, what Jesus did for us, Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. Yes? Yes? Right? He came. So how is your life different? How is it more abundant? Because not only do we have a promise of an afterlife with him forever, which is marvelous, spectacular, right? That's great. But what about now? Do you go through hardships? Do you go through difficulties? Sometimes you're heartbroken. As Justin said this morning about people, this broken world that we live in, the crying, the weeping, the brokenness that we have. How were the disciples living then? They walk around with their heads down. Wherever they went, they proclaimed the good news of Jesus. Whatever they did, it was all about Jesus and stuff. They suffered, they died for their faith, but they remained faithful. Why? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory? It's there no more. And so he went away rejoicing. We can go through hardships, we can go through difficulties, but we should be the people of all people in this world who should be able to rejoice, to give praise to God, because he is wonderful. He is marvelous. He is great. He has saved us. He's redeemed us. He's given us life, and he's given it to us abundantly. And guess what? This convert to Judaism is now a disciple of Jesus. And that's why he went away rejoicing. Our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations. And it starts right where we live, where we work, where we commune in our communities, our Jerusalem. We also have a responsibility to go to the enemy, to those who are difficult, to our Samaria. Two final thoughts here. Where is the Spirit leading you to go? Who does he want you to talk to? Sometimes we think we know, but we might be surprised where God is leading us. I'm going to stay over here where it's easier, it's nicer and all this. And meanwhile, God's saying, no, I know that seems right. It feels right to you, but I need you over here. I need you to go over there because these people need you to talk to them. And secondly, and that is this, today you can go away rejoicing just like the Ethiopian eunuch, by responding to the gospel call just like the Ethiopian eunuch. We're going to sing a song in just a moment, and during that song, you have an opportunity to come forward and proclaim your faith in Christ Jesus and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and maybe you're struggling with that list, your Jerusalem, your Samaria. Maybe there's a heartache in your life. Again, I come back to what Justin said so beautifully, and there's something that's just weighing heavily upon you, and you want the church to pray for you. We want to pray for you. We want to lift you up before the Lord. We want us as a church family to go away here rejoicing in the Lord, filled with the Spirit, encouraged, equipped, so that the light of Jesus may shine from our lives. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song?